Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. This is your go-to place for entertaining car talk, the In Wheel Time car talk show. Buzz Smith and EVs.
All right.
Enough said there. He's going to join us right off the top here, so stay tuned for that. Jeff talks muscle car one-hit wonders. We finally got the skinny on this year's SEMA show in Las Vegas from Randy Borcherding coming up. He's from Paint House.
That's going to be fun.
Conrad has the car clinic. Plus, we have the stories making automotive news headline. All straight ahead on this edition of the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world Mars. We need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Conrad is off gallivanting the earth. He's out on the left coast, which is perfect for him. He needs to just go ahead and stay out there.
He loves it.
He loves Nancy Pelosi.
He does.
We're just going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have plenty of time with her now.
Yeah.
Because she'll have lots of time off, don't you think?
Maybe he can get her the position to cover the eastern part of his
territory.
Whatever
position that is, I don't want to know what that is. So,
BG.
Anyway,
yeah.
Welcome to the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show, everybody. So glad that you could join us on this rainy Saturday here in the Houston, Texas area. Of course, we broadcast this bundle of joy worldwide.
Woo-hoo.
On the internet and on iHeartRadio, which is also worldwide. So welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's just get right to it, shall we, Mr. Mars?
I think we should.
All right. We're trying to involve Mr. Mars here, but it's difficult. He's always on his phone or doing something, whatever it is that he does over there.
He's doing.
But look who's joined us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mr. Sexy himself. It's Buzz Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. EV, how are you, sir?
Life is wonderful.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, lots of EV news since the last time that we talked to you. And
I've got some for you guys, too.
I'll bet you do.
Bet you we got more.
Yeah. Well, there's more of us, Buzz, as you know. But at any rate, I wanted to start off with a story that was sent to me by a PR company. Lattice Newswire. That doesn't make any difference where that's from. But did you know that Texas has the 15th fewest EV chargers per capita in the United States? Did you know that?
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today. Is it okay if we do that, or would you like to lead? Because I don't care.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I will say this, the number of EV charging stations in the U.S. has increased sharply over the past decade. These are all statistics presented with Copilot. Currently, only about 20% of the chargers are fast chargers. Hmm. You probably know all of this, but for our listeners and viewers, I wanted to kind of go over this so you get an idea of where we're headed. Roughly one-third, this kind of surprised me, one-third of the nation's EV chargers are in California.
What?
Well, it kind of makes sense because I think most of the EVs are in California. Here's a summary of the data for Texas. EV chargers per 100,000 residents, 18.7. That ain't very many, my friend. 18.7 per 100,000 residents. Total EV chargers, 5,486. Level 1 chargers, 115. This is per 100,000 residents. Level 2 chargers, 4,468. Those are the ones that usually hang on your garage wall and you plug it in when you get home. And then there's the DC fast chargers, of which there are only 903. I was kind of surprised at all of those numbers. Let's for just a state of reference, for the entire U.S., EV chargers per 100,000 residents, 39. Total EV chargers, 128,474. Level 1 chargers, 3,448. Level 2 chargers, 103,190. And DC fast chargers, 21,782. What's wrong with Texas?
Actually, what's wrong with the numbers? The problem is that level 1 chargers?
Yeah.
One for every EV that's ever been sold. So that number is way off. There's no way they can track that number. That's something that you plug into your 110 volt outlet at home. So how do they know how many are out there? They just don't.
Well, in
the case of the level two and high or DC fast chargers, we got more than enough
for now.
And here's the deal. 99% of the time, as long as you don't live like in an apartment complex where there's no charging available there, you're going to charge at home. That's the cheapest place to charge. It's the most convenient place to charge. I've been driving electrically for 10 years, and I have plugged into DC fast chargers maybe 10 times, once a year. There's plenty of chargers for what we need right now. Now, this gets back to my cell phone analogy. I'm an early adopter of technology. You know, I had a Sony Betamax in 1970.
I did, too. I'm embarrassed to admit that, but yes, I did.
Did the clock blink noon, 12 o'clock?
Yes, it did.
You know it. And then, actually, I think it had those flipping things, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's that long ago. I bought a CD player when there were almost no CDs to put in the thing. So when it came time for mobile phones, I thought, I got to have one of these. I mean, at that time, I was in software sales. I was on the road all the time, and it would have been really convenient to be able to do business from the car. Well, back then, the form factor was this giant purse you had to have on your shoulder because of the battery. With a headset or a handset connected to that.
Yep.
So, and the bill was maybe $300 a month for service.
Yikes.
Now, when I drove from Houston or from Dallas down to Houston, about a 4-hour drive, about 3 hours of that time, there was no cell phone connection. What a stupid idea. We can't, mobile phones are never going to make it in this country because we don't have enough cell phone towers.
Well, that doesn't seem to be the problem.
More cell phones, we built more cell phone towers. What do you think is going to happen with chargers?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
Yeah.
The federal government just gave Texas $410 million. To increase the number of chargers we have. I'm a board member with TxEtra, the Texas Electric Transportation Resources Alliance. We've been working on the infrastructure charging roadmap for years now, and the state has adopted most of our suggestions. So in the very near future, and I'm talking next 2 to 5 years max, along the major highways of Texas, there will be DC fast charging every 50 miles. We've got to quit making the analogy to gas stations. There will never be, in my opinion, the number of chargers that there are gas stations. And when you see number of chargers, some of those chargers have two or three plugs on them. So you got to multiply the numbers you were talking about by two or three to see how many cars can actually be serviced. But with the 800 volt system that's say in the Ioniq 5 or the Kia EV6, you can fill up in 18 minutes on a DC fast charger, but it's still expensive to do that. If I charge at home, I'm getting the dollar equivalent, depending on the price of gas at the time, anywhere from 100 to 135 miles per gallon if I charge at home. If I charge in a DC fast charger, that's going to drop down to about the equivalent of 30 or 35 miles per gallon. So it is important for everybody to realize, yes, it's great to have DC fast charging. We need it for cross-country trips, but most of the time, you're not going to use it.
Well, that goes back to our discussions about range anxiety. I mean, there's...
What's that?
Well, I mean, you know, but people have that and they worry about it. And whether they really have an issue with it or not, the idea that, okay, I know I'm going from Beaumont to Houston. I know there's a charger over there at Bucky's. And so I could get that far at least. Whether I really need to stop there or not, it's just that peace of
the
mind.
The mindset, yeah.
Yes.
And one of the other things I see with the numbers you're saying, Don, and I kind of have to look at it, with 100,000 population, there's 19% or 18% of the chargers.
Right.
Not everybody in that 100,000 group owns an EV.
That's true.
And so you have to look at it that way, too.
That's the point that we were trying to make. All right, well,
but
let's...
With that Inflation Reduction Act... I hate the way Congress names bills, but the second infrastructure bill, that came up with a lot of money for all the states, and even the states that have kind of resisted funding anything that has to do with those damn liberals and electric vehicles, they're getting on board for this because it's finally happening that the politicians are realizing something else. It's that, holy cow, the other side of this infrastructure bill is forcing companies to open manufacturing facilities in the United States. Kia's already announced, because they wouldn't get any of the federal income tax credit because their cars aren't built in North America, they're about to employ a whole bunch of our fellow citizens at a factory here in the United States building cars. And they would have never done that if it hadn't been for this bill. We're looking at lithium mining taking off in the United States. In the past, and I saw a battery expert on this, the United States didn't really need lithium as much as, say, China does. China's cranking out EVs, and they're cranking out battery packs, and so is South Korea. So they have most of the contracts for the lithium worldwide. Well, we need, think of lithium as the new oil. It's going to be the resource that we're all competing for, and we have a lot of it in the United States, and we just have to start going after it. But the deal is, we've never had a reason. We always had China build our batteries. Well, it's time we started doing that here, and we started using our own citizens as the employees for those companies instead of subsidizing foreign countries.
Hear, hear.
All right, so I want to switch gears here because we don't have all day. I know that you could do that, but I just wanted to interject something else. One of the stories from Automotive News this week: electric truck stops will need as much power as a small town. Next month, Tesla plans to deliver the first of its electric semi-trucks, able to haul a full 40-ton load some 500 miles on a single charge. That's impressive. These massive batteries on wheels may accelerate the transition to electrified transport, but those responsible for delivering the power are starting to ask, are we ready for this? Probably not, according to the article, and according to a sweeping new study of highway charging requirements conducted by utility company National Grid PLC. Researchers found that by 2030, electrifying a typical highway gas station will require as much power as a professional sports stadium, and that's mostly just... Cause I know this is... You guys can say, you're such a naysayer, Armstrong. Well, I'm not trying to be. I don't know anything about this, and I rely on you, and I know that I make fun of you all the time about this, but you know it's just in jest, because we all know that this is coming. But, I mean, do people actually think about this, you know, as far as trucks, for instance, heavy trucks, where are they going to get power along the road? Because, you know, some of those heavy haul trucks will do 500 miles on a tank of diesel.
Actually, it's interesting you mention this, because I just spoke to somebody within the last 3 days that showed me a patented device that fits on these electric trucks. And it almost looks like the nose cone of a spacecraft. You know how you've got the inverted cone and the thing you're going to dock with, and
yes,
it kind of guides the spaceships together.
We're familiar with that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, being in Houston, I would hope so.
Yep.
I grew up there, and I'm proud that it's Space City. But anyway, backing up into the loading dock, this probe will go into this very high, and we're talking megawatt speed chargers, not kilowatts anymore. It'll plug in, and while they're unloading and loading that truck, it will completely refill.
Completely. Wow. Talk about a fast charge.
Talk about a probe.
Yes. And that was stunning to me to hear that. There's also companies that are making inductive chargers for trucks. So let's say they pull into a Buc-ee's parking lot to sleep overnight. Their truck just pulls over this pad. There's a thing on the dashboard that shows them when they're centered over it correctly. And then they go to sleep. And the car, without plugging in or anything, just using magnetic waves, charges that battery. And the truck driver wakes up the next day to start driving again, and he's got an absolutely full battery ready to go.
How much for
the grid is going to be stressed? I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We've got to improve our grid. We've got to improve security on our current grid, because we've got foreign hackers that are trying to get in to disrupt our society. But the number of electronic devices in our homes over the last century has gone up dramatically, because we didn't have much electricity 100 years ago. Well, guess what? It's going to keep growing dramatically. If we replace gasoline with electricity, that just, you know, where's the electricity going to come from? So we are going to have to modernize the grid. The infrastructure, the second infrastructure bill, I think, put $35 billion out there for modernizing and securing our grid. Again, it's just like the cell phone towers. The grid of today isn't ready for 300 million, and that's the number of vehicles in the entire fleet of the United States, 300 million vehicles. We're not ready for that. Just like, oddly, when cell phones came out, we just didn't have the towers for these things. So, what are we going to do?
Yeah, and in some places, we still don't have the towers.
It's not a crisis. It's an opportunity. When we went to the moon, the engineers in mission control used wooden slide rules to do their calculations. Now, today, for $10, you can get you can probably get a free credit card size charger in the mail, you know, as a bonus gift for getting a credit card or something. And that has more compute power than they were able to do with those slide rules. And we went to the moon in 1969. So all these limitations that people throw out is insulting to me as an American. You're saying we can't step up to this? That is BS.
Well,
we are going to do this.
Yeah.
When consumers get into these cars, and I'm about to tell you about this, when consumers get into these cars, it's a life-changing event. I just saw a thing from a presentation that Consumer Reports did, and they had four different levels of the understanding of EVs. Now, get this. The highest level of understanding that the consumer had that they were polling on this was the equivalent of a 16-year-old driver's permit holder. Hmm. They may have driven their family car a couple of times, ridden it quite a few times, but the bottom line is very little experience. Well, if you go from not knowing anything about EVs in the general population, people that said they would never, ever buy one was a huge number. The people who said that they would probably consider it, but not for their next car, was another huge number. And I think we're talking, I had this down, but maybe 27%, something like that, would be actually in favor of looking at an EV. After getting in one or two times and driving it, that number jumped to 88%. That would either be open to it for their next EV, they were definitely going to buy an EV as their next car, became 88% just by riding or driving one two times. So as people get inducted into these cars, they are going to be changed by that experience. And the other thing Consumer Reports said that was really an eye-opener, and I wish I had thought of this, because it actually is true in my life. Do you remember the first time you saw a flat-screen, high-definition television display running? I do. I walked into Fort Worth's Marvin Electronics. They're out of business now, but at one time, this was the high-end stereo and video store in the Fort Worth area, and I would go there to buy all of my equipment. I walked in one day, and they had this big screen, flat TV, and I just stopped dead in my tracks, and it was like an aerial shot landing in the Caribbean somewhere, and it was the most beautiful television picture I ever saw. The guy from Consumer Reports said, when people saw these TVs, they were $10,000 a piece. How many of us can afford a $10,000 TV? It's probably like a $100,000 EV. A lot of people think, well, that's out of my price range. But what happened, according to the Consumer Reports guy, is those people never bought a tube TV again. They knew they couldn't afford the flat screen TV. There wasn't a lot of high definition programming out there. But they had seen the future. They had seen what they wanted. And they said, you know what? I'm not investing in that old technology anymore. I'm going to wait till the price gets to what I can afford, and I'm going to get one.
But Buzz, that to me right there is really the biggest problem with all this. You know, you're talking about the consumer. Consumer says, I see what I want, and I know what I want. This is not quite like that. We've got mandates coming down from high above that says you will stop selling new cars, new gasoline cars by a certain date and time, whether we've got infrastructure or not. I mean, if this is not consumer driven. I agree that as people get educated, they're going to feel more like it and they're going to do more about it. But this is not a consumer driven product like you're talking about with the cell phones and the TVs, the flat screen. This is being very mandated. And I think that's where it's screwed up.
Let's get real about mandates. Mandates mean nothing. Nothing. If in 2035, California citizens don't want to buy electric vehicles, it doesn't matter what Newsom did. It doesn't matter that they passed this law. They will vote those people out of office. They'll vote people into office that will let them have their gas cars, and they'll go on. What's going to make the change is not mandates. It's always driven by consumers. And that's what, you know, it's one thing to paint this vision. John F. Kennedy did it with the moon landings. He set the goal that by the end of the decade, we were going to land on the moon. That's an inspirational way to move people forward. But we are so split in this country right now politically that there is no more inspirational leadership.
I agree, but I feel like there is a difference between setting a goal. You know, this is the goal. We want this goal. This is where we need to go. Versus you will go there whether you like it or not. There, to me, there's a difference.
Right. You're absolutely right. People will dig their heels in. We're Americans. We're supposed to be free. How dare you tell me what I'm going to drive? Now, the fact is, I honestly believe things are going to ramp up much faster than that. I think that we've reached the tipping point. The pickup trucks are here. The big SUVs, like the ones from Vietnam and VinFast, I've seen them in person. They are the SUVs that Americans want. It looks like something the size of a Chevy Tahoe. And it's 100% electric, and it'll go 250, 300 miles on a charge. That's what they're all waiting for, is vehicles like that. And they are about to hit our shores, and they're going to be incredibly popular.
Hey, let me interject here because we're running a little tight on time. Porsche accelerating toward a greener future with the arrival of its first electric crossover, a battery-powered Macan that will pack a big battery and output more than 600 horsepower electric. Sportiest model in the segment, Porsche says. Software supplier issues have delayed its debut, but it's in the offing. Got that coming in early fall of 2023, so that's on the road. So if you're a Porsche file, then you got that. And you know, these stories go on, and every week you get more and more EV stories that we're actually airing. And so it is the future.
Yeah, you probably should hire a full-time consultant to be on the show with you all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody?
Do you know any? Hey, are we going to see you at the Houston Auto Show?
Autorama or Auto Show?
Auto Show.
I would have, before a couple of days ago, I would have said absolutely, but I just got approached by the National Auto Dealer Association to speak at their annual event, and it's the exact same weekend. I'm just horrified by this because I love being a host of the EV area. I've done it for 3 years at the Houston Auto Show. So I'm trying to work out a balance where I can still do the speech from the stage at the NADA meeting and then get my butt down to Houston and spend some time down there because it's such a great time.
It shouldn't be a problem with that jet-fueled aircraft, private aircraft that you will have hired for you and fly you from coast to coast, wherever it is.
I think he's got a hot air balloon.
I'm hoping the president sends Air Force One to pick me up and take me.
Or John Kerry can send his jet.
There you go.
That's it. Buzz, it's always great to talk to you, my friend.
One thing real quick.
All right.
I've known absolutely nothing, and this is the reason I have the background I have today. I know almost nothing about electric bicycles. In fact, to me, they seem to be the stupidest thing because starting about 35 years ago, I started bicycling to stay healthy. For me, it's about the workout. It's not about just cruising around looking at, you know, pretty trees and flowers.
Yeah.
But my wife actually was the smart one again. And she came up to me and said, you know, you want me to ride bikes with you, but you've been riding like this for 35 years, so I can't keep up with you and you can't go slow enough for me. What if we got an electric bike where it assisted the pedaling? And I found out most electric bikes have 5 different levels of battery assist. So one of our neighbors had bought 2 electric bikes. They loved them so much, they moved up to higher end electric bikes and they were selling theirs at about half the list price. So they had 2 of them. I thought, let's go take a look. And by the time I got there, they'd sold one and I test rode the other one. And I thought, this is going to be perfect for my wife. And we went ahead and bought it. And within 2 weeks, I got another one for me. Mine's more of a mountain bike with the 4-inch big knobby tires, front suspension, but it's similar pedal assist. Top speed's about 28 miles per hour. It's about 45 miles of range. It just arrived. So it's disassembled in a box in my garage. But I'm going to be doing a series on my blog about what I'm learning about electric vehicle or electric bicycles as I'm going along. And I'm actually pretty excited about it. I think that my wife will be able to slowly reduce the amount of assist the bike is getting her. So she builds up her stamina to the level of mine. And then we can ride traditional bicycles or electric bikes when we want an easier ride and can, you know, hopefully live a healthy old age. On these bicycles. So stay tuned for this. I'll be writing a lot of
articles. I'm really interested. I look at those.
I can see you right now that you are actually transforming into the next Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, but you can't do that riding side saddle.
What's sad is at one point, When I went through my divorce, you know, and I needed to find a way to be attractive to women, I hired a personal trainer to get into shape and everything. And after a month or two of her working with me, you know, she said, you're never going to be bulked up like Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's two types of muscles, and one of them is lean and strong, and that's the Lance Armstrong model. And she actually said, your muscle type is the Lance Armstrong type. So you're never going to bulk up, but you will have stamina.
We all got fat heads around here, so.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
I can bulk up around the waist.
I got to drive the BMW i4 M50 electric vehicle.
How was it?
Oh, my God. I've been driving electrically for 10 years, and when I punched the accelerator on this thing, it scared the crap out of me.
Really?
So if you haven't test driven one of these guys, go do it. Go do it. It was so cool.
You're going to tell them you sent us. Buzz, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you, my friend. Take care of yourself. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you at the beginning of the year.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
All right. See you soon. Thank you, sir.
EV Wonder, Mr. Buzz Smith. Yeah. All right. Speaking of one-hit wonders, we had promised that we were going to get to one-hit muscle car wonders,
yep.
But we're running a little bit behind.
I see that. Yep.
Why don't we do that maybe in the next segment?
Yeah, we can.
Is that okay with you? We'll
do it in the fourth hour.
Yeah. Have you driven an electric car?
No, I have not.
You need to.
Well, wait. Yes, I have. Short distance. Yeah, maybe 30 feet, something like that.
Oh, no. No. I'm talking about, you know, at least 30 minutes on the road somewhere.
No.
Tons of fun.
Yeah, it really is.
The acceleration is truly remarkable. Yeah, and, you know, me being the drag racing nut that I am, mm-hmm. it's all about acceleration. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my gosh, it's not a top fuel dragster, but it will
push you back in the seat, though.
Yep. Big time, yeah. Yeah, and take the hair right off the top of your head.
I've been there.
Have you?
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, I drove an EV.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show streams on the iHeart app, Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. Podcasts are available on your favorite podcast channel all through the week. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Starting to work on your Christmas calendar? Be sure to add the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in Saturday, December 17th. You'll want to attend Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, or Best Modern Classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods. And get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee and cars will automatically compete for those much sought-after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's the Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition, Saturday, December 17th. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show will be there, too. Celebrate the Christmas season with friends and family at Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, December 17th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Hey, Houston! America's greatest hot rod tradition is back! Thanksgiving weekend! The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama! At the George R. Brown Convention Center. Four action-packed days of hot rods, customs, classics, trucks, performance cars, and live music. Do not miss the Ultimate Lowrider Showcase. Sponsored by Shorty's Hydraulics. And the traditional Rod Garage. Saturday only, it's the Tuner Galleria. With 250 imports, JDM, and luxury cars. Plus music and models. On the celebrity stage. Presented by Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration. Meet Bad Chad and wife Jolene from Bad Chad Customs on Friday. Saturday, it's Dave Kindig from TV's Bitchin' Rise. Sunday, it's Danny Coker and Kevin Mack from TV's Counting Cars. Shop the Swap Meet and Women's World all weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama. November 25th to 28th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Discount tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Part of the Summer Racing Equipment Show Car Series. See Autorama.com for more info.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is now part of the iHeart family. Now you'll have access to 24/7 Car Talk anytime you need a fix. Just download the iHeart Radio app and ask for In Wheel Time Car Talk, and there we are. Be sure to save us in your iHeart library for instant access. No matter where you are, you have the best car talk show right on your PC, laptop, or mobile device, and never have to worry about finding us again. Of course, you can always get access to our video and audio streams via InWheelTime.com and your favorite podcast channel, and all of this is free to you. From the iHeartRadio app, you'll not only hear our Saturday morning live show, but the best shows of the past, updated weekly. Never miss a minute of up-to-date new car reviews, pre-owned reviews, Conrad's Car Clinic, informative interviews, automotive news, and the most fun car talk show on the planet. Just download the iHeartRadio app, search for In Real Time Car Talk, save it to your library, and with a tap of the icon, you'll be in touch with your favorite car talk team. In Real Time Car Talk, streaming now on iHeart.com/InRealTimeCarTalk. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Real Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InRealTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.